everyone. You have tuned into Paradigm Shifters. And who are Paradigm Shifters? Are people who are making a difference in the collective at this time of the great shift in our species on the planet. How wonderful, Paradigm Shifters, today. We're doing an amazing experiment. We're doing a panel of a few of the people that represent the Universal Lightworkers Conference, I think the 12th or the 13th one. And that was a song by Angelina of a wonderful duo, Armand and Angelina, and I really recommend you check their website to hear the kinds of music that they present. So I don't know your last names, Armand and Angelina, but welcome to the show. I'm absolutely blown away by your website and the kind of, what did you call it, musical healing ministry that you carry out?
Yes.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Happy to be here.
We're glad that you're here, and I really love this whole lightworkers thing, because that's what we all are aspiring to anyway, aren't we?
It's our favorite weekend of the year.
Really? Well, I'd like, first of all, tell us a tiny bit anyway about yourself, because you're going to get short-cheated because we've got other people. But I'd like to know how long you two have been singing and performing together and where you started out. And tell us about yourself.
Well, Angelina and I have been singing together for about 8 years. I was traveling in the Unity Church circuit, and she was in the audience 8.5, 9 years ago, and she was singing all Italian music at Epcot Center when I met her. And I was doing my pop music, and somehow we got together, and she's classically trained, and I'm bar trained, and we created this pop classic, what we call world popera music together, and the rest is history.
Oh, it's wonderful. It's very healing, isn't it?
It's amazing that Spirit made this happen, because we certainly did not, plan this.
Right.
The old saying that God can outdream us. Is very obvious here.
It doesn't make sense that our two styles would go together, but somehow it has worked to that. So.
Well, you did correct me up that it's called popera. I love that. And actually, with all the little sample cuts that you've got on your website, it's really interesting to hear the two kinds of voice come together. The resonance is extremely touching, so thank you for that.
Thank you.
So tell us about the Lightworkers Conference.
Oh, my goodness. This is a gathering of people that all come together from all over the world to be frequency holders and to be entertained. There's music. There's wonderful speakers. There's just a cohesive energy that happens. It's just beyond words, actually. I've been doing it since 1997.
Wow.
And we all come together with a common purpose, and everybody walks out of there feeling higher than they were when they started, and who wouldn't want to go to that every year?
Well, you know, you've been traveling a lot in your work, haven't you, for a long, long time, have you not?
Yes, about 11, going on 12 years now.
So what sets the tone in this conference that makes it different? Because one of the things a lot of us have talked about in these metaphysical gatherings is that sometimes there's so much competition, or there's stardom and there's people outdoing each other and so on, and it isn't as freeing from our egos as we wanted to think. But everything I read about this conference says people are able to move past that.
Yes, with rare exception. The energy by the people that create the conference, Robin Rose and Michael Myrdad, they set a tone that we're all in this together, and they always say we're here for the attendees, and it works. We all gather as a group. We don't come in separately and all just kind of do our thing. We gather as a group the day before, create the tone, create synergy, and that synergy happens throughout the weekend. It's just amazing.
That's a very precious thing, isn't it?
What's your
spiritual history? What is your aim in life? Are you are you both ministers?
You know, we both we both have our own version of a ministry, but I'm more of the speaker energy, and I'm ordained. Her ministry is love, and she just walks in and just comes out. I have to work at it.
And Angelina, you're very beautiful. I know that's not the way to measure our total world success, but it's nice to have those qualities besides this amazing voice. So, often with paradigm shifters, I always remind people that we're trying to learn to send a wave, a collective wave of evolution through the, throughout the world. And it seems like you're on that track, or the Universal Lightworkers Conference is definitely on that track, isn't it?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's a perfect match. You know, I happen to be a big student of Eckhart Tolle. I even call myself the Tollinator, here to pump up your consciousness. and
the Tollinator, I like that.
It's very much in alignment with the new Earth. To me, paradigm shift is the new Earth. The 2012, moving into the age of consciousness, it's just all happening. This is the most exciting time in the history of this planet, in my opinion. So it's very, very exciting and interesting to see what's going to happen in the next couple of years.
I think it's really exciting as well. I think that my politics is about raising the field so that we can all get through it together. What do you think of that?
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. The Internet is showing us that we are much more connected than we ever imagined, so it's great.
Yeah, I always call it training wheels for our oneness consciousness. So what do you recommend for people to do to expand and grow and to gain freedom from the ego traps? And we've got systems crumbling around us, to develop a new system that's a real win-win for all.
Well, obviously time, taking time to shut down, taking time to quiet the mind. But I would say, as far as a thought, what's really, really grabbing me these days is the idea of contentment, the idea of finding what's enough. Because to me, the greatest playground for the ego is more. And if we can find what's enough right now in our lives and embrace that, the ego doesn't like that at all, and it will diminish. It just can't stand contentment.
That makes sense, doesn't it? It's quite funny.
It is. It's crazy. It's so simple. It's right here.
So, Armand, do you actually sing along with Angelina, or do you teach? Or do you do healing sessions?
No, actually, we both sing pretty much equally. I'm the predominant songwriter of the two.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of the original music, I either sing solo or we do as a duet, and then we rearrange classical songs for her. And
did you co-write with Johann Sebastian Bach?
we work with whoever we can, sure.
So you also, I saw on their website, which is really a wonderful website, I saw that you sell, that you use a flute, and you find it a healing instrument, and you sell flutes on your website as well. You want to talk about that?
Yes, I teach about 1,000 people a year to play the flute, because it's a wonderful way to get people out of the thinking mind into the right brain and more into spirit. And so I do teach the Native American flute. I play them. I record them.
And the great thing about that flute is that people who feel or think they aren't able to do music can pick up this flute and play music. So it's really powerful to find, see these people that say, oh, I could never play music, are actually playing melodies on the flute.
Wow. Isn't that amazing? Do you play it as well, Angelina?
I play it just kind of as a meditation. I don't perform it, but if I feel a little sometimes stressed or too much going on, I'll sit and just play the flute for, a couple of minutes, and it calms me down. So
it's like music, healing through music, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Although you're singing alone is a wonderful tool for healing and advancing our consciousness, isn't it? I love that.
Mm-hmm.
So, so are you going to perform together at the Universal Light ULC?
Universal Lightworkers Conference. Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
Are you going to be performing together?
Together. Yes. She'll be doing some solos also. I may also, but we're also going to be the featured music during the Saturday evening banquet, and it's just really an honor to do that because.
Mm-hmm.
We've always been kind of scattered throughout the conference, and it's going to be nice to really do a block of music. We're going to do a performance with costume changes and do our big classical crossover program.
Great. And so what are the themes of the conference? Are the themes all about, what are they? Can you tell us?
Boy, there have been so many different things. I don't know what this year's theme is. I'm embarrassed to say. I know the theme is always, you know, how to create heaven on earth, you know, through conscious co-creation. So it's always a version of that.
There's the term conscious co-creation, so that's what we're talking about. Do they check, one of the things I read somewhere is that they, to have people apply to be speakers and so on, their resonance and whether they come from the heart is looked at pretty carefully. Is that right?
They're very, very selective about, you know, who comes, and that's why I'm just so honored that they keep bringing us back each year. It's definitely not because of someone's credentials alone, because when I first got invited, you know, I had zero credentials pretty much, and they just connected with me. And so there's very, very super well-credentialed, famous authors like Don Miguel Ruiz, all the way to people that a lot of people may never have heard of that have such a strong power. They're life-changing people, and it's often not the most famous people that are the most life-changing at these events that I've found.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds really exciting, and for me, and we'll move on to our one of your fellow guests, but anyway, for me, what's the most exciting is it sounds like we're learning to create consciously an ambiance of a group, and that's what we're, I think, would change the world, actually. That's
yes.
Politics, right?
Changing the world one consciousness at a time.
That's right. But if you can gather a whole bunch of them together and really lift it, it's a pretty wonderful gift for the planet, too.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Seth, if you'd like to call, if you guys would like to stay online, and then we're going to call in Jean and see what she has to say about it all and what she says about her own stuff. I really recommend, what is your website, if you tell people the website?
ArmandandAngelina.com.
Okay.
Hi, this is Jean.
Hi, Jean, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
I'm really fine. I'm having a good time with Armand and Angelina here, and we want you to join us. But first, tell the people who you are and what is... Oh, first of all, I know you also have a radio show on Seventh Wave at the same
yes.
time as Paradigm Shifters, right?
Yes. I mean, this is a perfect example of how in the new consciousness we can be two places at once.
You bet. So, and so tell us what some of your other stuff is. You do healing work and so on, and then we'll talk about the conference a bit.
Sure. Several years ago, I developed a healing methodology called InSpeak, which is a tool that lets you learn how to listen to what your soul is trying to tell you so that you can clear away the things that are holding you back in any area of your life or every area of your life. And I do that work on people. I teach that work internationally and nationally. I've written 4 books. I've got the radio show, and I've developed a deck of cards that do that InSpeak work so that people who don't want to take a class or see a practitioner can actually work on themselves to clear away their baggage, because we've reached that place in consciousness where recess is over. You know, we don't have time to carry this junk around anymore. We've got to get clear so that we can do the work that we came here to do in this lifetime.
So what's your, how do people find that? JeanAdrienne.com?
Yeah, JeanAdrienne.com. I've also put those cards up on the web that people can use them for free, and that's at www.inner-speak.org. and you can play with the cards and do clearing work on yourself on those using those cards for free.
Well, so how does the clearing? I'd love to take more time talking about all this, but we're kind of in a hurry in a way. But,
right. Yeah.
How do the cards work with people's healing? Do they have? Do they have symbols? Do they have vibrational impact or what?
All the above. And then they have the words, the healing with words, which is what InnerSpeak does. But basically what the cards do is it allows you to go to the source of where you set up a block on your path. So you locate the source, you pick a red card, it shows you what the source is. The orange cards tell you what the setup was, what happened to the source that generated this block. The yellow cards are soul reaction. That's what the trauma did to the soul. That's the reorganization or the coping mechanism that was developed that's no longer appropriate. The blue cards are the stuck belief that was internalized around this trauma. The green cards then clear it away. You pull three green cards and you do what it says and that clears it away. And it's all about intention. You know, we can do anything we want to with our intent. And that's why the cards work, and they work extremely well.
And you said you had a healing tool. What is that?
Well, the tool is called InnerSpeak. And that's the cards, but it exploded out into one-on-one hour-long sessions.
Oh, good. Well, what about the four books? What on earth are you writing about in those books, girl?
Well, the most recent one is called Reframe Your World, and it's tools to help you get outside the box that we place ourselves in, where we limit ourselves. You know, we tend to try to define everything, and when we do that, as soon as we start defining things, we put it in a box. You know, and as soon as we start trying to define God, then we limit what God can produce for us. So, you know, because we, as humans, we tend to think we're smarter, right? So I've given people tools that they can use to begin to first identify that they do that, and then learn how to let that stuff go, so that we can allow the universe to bring to us all those things that we deserve.
Wow, that's what we were just talking about on the show I did just before this.
Cool.
Yeah, it's that whole thing about being so related to our identity or, you know, and limited by it that we block an awful lot of support, don't we?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. You know, and so that's really what my goal is. You know, I guess I consider myself to be an empowerment coach. I'm all about trying to empower the individual to take responsibility for their life and to begin to work in concert with the universal laws so that they can receive everything they desire, because I do believe that the universe will provide for us completely and totally if we just let it.
Well, that makes sense to me. So if people wanted to get into your list of books, it's jeanadrian.com, or it's are they all on InnerSpeak as well, or is that just where the cards are?
That's just where the cards are, jeanadrian.com. I've got a store there. All my books are available through amazon.com as well.
Well, great. Well, we're going to call in Judith, who's a crystal person. She's got a website called Crystal Friends. And then I thought that what we would do is have a little panel and discuss whatever we want. We can discuss, I was thinking about changing the collective and raising the frequency of it, or which I believe that you're doing at the conference, right?
Absolutely.
Or we can talk about...
Yeah, well, I'm sure that Armand and Angelina and everybody else that's been on has talked about how incredible this conference is. It's the most amazing event I've ever attended in 25 years.
So tell us why.
Well, the first time I went to the conference was about 5 years ago, and I had never been in a room with so many people of like mind and high vibration and, you know, truly focused on being and becoming the best they could be. And the energy just in the room is, you can't help but grow when you're in this room with all these people. But, you know, Michael and all the people, all the speakers, and Robin, they make all of this fun. And so you have this wonderful environment where consciousness is being raised at every second, and the performers and the speakers and the workshops then just take that to the next level and make it fun. And people walk away, I know I did, I made friends 5 years ago that I'm still friends with.
So you've been going for 5 years?
Community. Hmm. Yeah.
Wow. And so what are the tests that they make to see if your frequency is high enough to do this?
You know, there is no test. And I think that anybody who resonates with the conference will show up there and they will benefit from it.
Well, before we call Judith, gee, I forgot what I was going to say, so I guess we better call. Oh, yeah, when is it? It's June 12th and to the 14th.
Yeah.
And it's
right.
in where?
It's Friday, Saturday, Sunday in Fort Lauderdale.
Okay, so a person can get more detailed instruction by going onto the website, right?
Yeah, universallightworkers.com.
I kind of think of this stuff as our new politics. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it's a politics of empowerment where we take responsibility for our own lives and for, you know, taking care of ourselves and, you know, standing in our power. And as we do that, other people learn from it.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I think the mutual support is something, too, instead of mutual divisiveness. So we'll just see how that's going to go. But it sounds, everybody I've talked to says that that's what goes on there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's just, it's an atmosphere of pure love. It's just genuine. Everybody is there for everybody else. And I mean, I know that sounds, you know, like I'm making that up, but I'm not. It's just, you know, there's no way to describe it until you've been there.
Oh, that's wonderful. Who are your mentors?
You know, I would have to say that one of my main mentors is Steve Rother, who channels a group of angels called The Group. And he's really assisted me in getting my work out onto an international level. He invited me to participate in his Human Angel Conference last year in Holland in August. And that really helped take my work to an international level. So I have to really thank him as being one of my primary mentors. But, gosh, you know, I follow the works of Deepak Chopra, Wayne Dyer, Carolyn Mace, you name it. I've been studying this stuff for about 25 years now, and just every little step, you know, it's one more step towards improving and raising my consciousness.
Excellent job. You're doing a great job. So are you, too, if you're still on there. I think you are, eh?
We're still here.
Okay. And Seth, if you could you call in Judith and have her bring her crystals when she comes? We'll throw in the crystals to really enhance it all as well. And we'll all have to hear the phone being rung because he's using a new system. So.
Hi, this is Judith.
Hi, Judith. You're on the air. This is Veronica, and we've got with us Jean, and we've got Angelina and Armand. So welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Good. Well, we want to hear a little bit about crystals and about who you are before we launch off into an earth-shaking dynamic panel.
Well, that's perfect because, you know what, I'm all about change and have been involved in change management in my corporate career and have also been involved in raising crystal consciousness or awareness of the holistic attributes of gem healing. So it's exciting
oh, great.
To bridge both.
Wow. So how long have you been studying this?
Well, I've been working with stones since I was itty-bitty. You know, I used to come in with a handful of rocks and just say, these are my friends, and that's how the name of the website actually came to be.
Oh, that's great. So tell us what do you do with crystals? Do you do crystal healing? Do you set up grids? Can you tell us a little bit?
Absolutely. Each gemstone has a particular resonance, and it's working with that individual vibration that people are drawn, for example, to a particular stone. So if someone's drawn to amethyst, for example, they're more than likely working on opening their intuitive awareness and probably have a connection to the angelic realm. And we naturally kind of move to the stones that we need to work with at the individual times. From a healing perspective, there's the individual connection and then the collective connection, if you will. The collective connection, I can't say that today, is really about how we all integrate in those individual areas of energy in the planet. So we have planetary grids that we look at. We have the connections between how environmentalism is coming to the forefront today and how gems can play a role in that. There's just a whole myriad of different ways that we can work with crystal energy. And it's really
so
very
quickly,
simple.
how can you enhance environmental awareness with gems?
Well, it's for example, how are your diamonds coming forward? You know, how are things mined? You know, originally crystals were used for communication and bridging the evolution of our connection through communication, you know, from the birth of the radio into the information or technology ages. How are we utilizing that energy right now? and environmentalism is one component of it.
Hmm. So you mean the communications can be smashed up or broken or actually enhanced by the way people handle it?
In some respects, yes.
Mm-hmm. So crystals are like people in the sense that they're very individual, aren't they?
Well, there's a commonality in the different personas, if you will. You know, just like there's a family connection in, for example, working with all the different quartzes, you know, from rose quartz to clear quartz to amethyst and citrine. The thing that's most interesting is how we bridge that energy into the healing aspect. For example, most people don't think about crystal technology in the sense that we're working with nanotechnology where gold flakes are adhering to the cancerous cells to identify those cells to be eradicated.
Hmm.
That's a form of crystal therapy.
Hmm. Excellent. So what do you do? Do you have them sitting around in a room and create certain vibrational, you know, like how do you use them? Do you create certain vibrational flows with them? And
there are a lot of different ways. And what you're talking about is working with grids, and that's a type of healing technology that we've been using since the time of monolithic peoples, if you will. You know, Stonehenge is a type of crystal grid. So it's taking that energy and through placement and using sacred geometry in particular stones, creating a vortex of energy.
Excellent. Do you do that in your work? Do you do healing work with crystals?
I do. I also have a program called the Crystal Energist Practitioner that teaches people how to do that work.
I just wrote that down. You don't mean a radio show. You mean an actual teaching program.
It is a teaching program, yes.
Mm-hmm. And you tell people, because as we were talking, I think it was Armand, Benny, we were talking about how the dynamic of change and consciousness at this time in history is just astounding. And it sounds like, and I know a lot of people who love and use crystals a lot, it sounds like crystals can absolutely enhance, make it crystal clear, enhance that dynamic flow of understanding and movement of consciousness, can't they?
Well, they certainly can support the individual journey, if you will, and collectively we stand on such a precipice of change. It really, we have to look at all the utilization of the tools available to us and take responsibility for our actions and look at where we can make those changes.
Well, that's great. Well, I would like to, if it's all right with everybody, tell everybody your the name of your website.
My website is crystalfriends.com.
crystalfriends.com.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now I would like us to do a panel, like a discussion, have everyone being involved at somehow or another. If we can handle this on radio, it could be a bit confusing, but we've all got a sense of humor, I think. And I would just love to talk about, as I said, about the changing times and how to, you know, how to work with the changing times and make it easier for people to move through instead of a competitive, greedy life into a win-win life, heaven on earth, as you said. So does that sound good to everybody?
Absolutely.
Sure.
Works for me.
And so you all have some pretty wonderful healing tools. And Armand and Angelina, you have, do you do sound healing? Do you do song healing?
I think song healing is a great way to describe it. I've never heard it that way, but sure. The words and the frequencies, they do their thing.
So what do you have to say about, that's a hard question. I was just thinking, what are your ideal plans for, say if we had an ideal political structure for changing consciousness on this planet, what would it look like? Has anybody got something to say about that?
This is Judith, and I'd be happy to offer a perspective related to healthcare, because it's a field that I think is so important, particularly in this country. And it's the ability to step in from that political aspect and look at what we need to do to change that. And I'm really excited to share that there are some things that are being done in traditional hospitals that are inviting what we're talking about with sound therapy, with crystal therapy, with working with biofeedback and different modalities that are bridging that aspect of healing that instead of coming from a place of fix me, it's rather maintenance and well-being and not having to cut. So I think that's one of the areas that personally, I'm really excited to start to see that shift and to see that evolution of ancient care, if you will, coming back into the forefront of what we term modern medicine. And I think we have a great opportunity to speak up and talk about the different ways that we can make those changes.
That's really exciting. Do you know of anything that's going on in the government that will really bring our alternate healing forward?
I have heard, and I have to say that what I've seen is an interest level. People are coming from the governmental perspective and asking questions about the different elements of healthcare. There was a program that was out about 3 or 4 months ago that was a survey that was started out of D.C. And I'm sorry, I don't have more specifics, but I do remember seeing a great deal of information from Deepak Chopra and some of the others.
Yeah, I think it was on consciousness, wasn't it, with Barbara Marks Hubbard and some of these people?
There was the consciousness aspect and also the aspect of healing.
It's really exciting, isn't it, these times?
It's fabulous.
What do you think, people think of, say, changing the, not changing the administration, infusing consciousness into the administration? How can we do that? Can we do that with music? Can we do that with crystals? You know, in my shows, we always send light. We send these light beams out to Obama to support the administration's changes. What kind of ideas do you have?
You know, I think it's all about intent, and if we hold our own personal intent for consciousness raising, you know, because I think we can only change the world one person at a time, and each one of us has to do our part of, you know, holding our consciousness and holding our intent that the consciousness of everyone else in the government is raised, you know, and as we do that, I do believe it helps. I mean, I feel a definite shift in the administration, you know, since the first of the year. Things are absolutely, I believe, energetically different.
I think it's really interesting when you say that as well, because more, I don't know which of you said it, but in any case, Obama's kept saying all of us are required. We all have to participate. And it's really one way of saying the same thing, which is each of us has to become conscious and responsible for what we're putting out there, right, intentionally.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, I also believe that there has to be, you know, healthcare reform so that the way is made open for practitioners of alternative methods of healing are accepted, as well as the traditional allopathic modalities.
I agree with that.
But I think we'll see that. You know, I think we'll see that.
Well, I think money alone would make it more viable because, it's so expensive to run high-tech health, and they're complaining about the cost of health care all the time. So it seems like it's a logical step. But it is kind of forfeiting a power base. So that might not be that easy to shift. Eh? But I think
True.
You can shift it with intention.
I do believe that as well. You know, I tuned in. I don't watch much TV, but I tuned this morning to Good Morning America, and there was a gentleman on there, and I did not catch his name, but he's a billionaire, and he's written a book, and Diane Sawyer was interviewing him and asking him about, you know, where he sees money and, you know, and the bailouts and all that. And he said, well, you know, the one thing that hasn't been addressed but that's going to have to be is restructuring in healthcare, because, you know, we're going to go bankrupt with respect to Medicare and Medicaid. There's no money to back that up. It's all pretty much running on fumes at this point. You know, and until they do something about healthcare to bring the cost down, things aren't going to change. And he said, you know, and there are people, he said there are people in the administration that are looking at that.
Oh, really? So they're actually doing some studies on that?
Apparently they are. But, you know, again, I got in there a little bit late. So if your listeners want to go out on Good Morning America and find that information, they might find stuff that would be of interest with respect to what's happening about healthcare reform.
I feel a bit cynical about all that because they keep saying it's Medicaid and Medicare that's going to bankrupt us when they're not talking about the bombs and all of that that costs a lot more. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
And
oh, yeah.
Creates the need for high-tech healthcare, too, another need. But anyway, I really see some big changes on the planet. One of the things also is about consciousness in, say, in sustainability. Or do you have anybody at the conference talking about that?
I'm not aware of anybody that's got that as their message.
Okay.
I'm not aware of that either.
Oh, well, don't worry about it. It's just that there are all these, like, wonderful blooms coming up these days of alternative energy and ways of changing the consciousness, meaning dropping back into being responsible for ourselves. So, but also, I just love music, healing, sound healing. So do you have something to say about that, Armand?
Well, I know this. The Obama administration is very pro-music. They're always having some kind of a concert at the White House, and that's definitely very, very exciting. So,
have they had you in there yet?
No, but yet is the optimum word.
Yeah, he's got a lot. They've got a lot of life in them, haven't they?
Yeah, it just seems that they are inspiring so many light workers in a way that administrations haven't done for a long time, and there's a ton of power in that because energy is being focused their way. I think that they'll go beyond where they could even imagine because of so many people sending them, you know, positive energy. So
there's a lot of people doing that, isn't there?
Well, I think we're opening up to a really exciting point where we're looking at conscious commerce. And that's part of Obama's mission in making us aware of the different options and availability of new thought in business. And that's part of the message in bringing that forward, too. So I think it's an exciting time.
I think it's a very exciting time. I'm going to talk to some people on my show in a couple of weeks of talking about putting heart into commerce, you know, heart and sales. It's great, you know. But I think you're absolutely right. And there's a whole movement about consciousness in business these days, isn't there?
Well, there is. There absolutely is. People are blending heart and head. And that's part of what I'm going to be touching on in the conference is how to bridge that into that change momentum.
Are you still in a corporation, Judith?
I am not. I have not been in the corporate world, so to speak, employed by corporate folks for almost 10 years. But
really?
I spent a long time in that, and I have an understanding of both sides, so to speak. So it's exciting to see that industry leaders are making shifts, that we're opening up to new ways of running organizations to look at where we can leverage that heart and head connection and come up with a new creativity, an inspired creativity that takes us to a new level of connection, of being able to take that inspiration and make it real.
So what do you think is the operative phase of that? Is it like what Jean was talking about with the responsibility of individuals to sort of wake up and intend and be conscious? Or?
Well, I think in many ways it is always the individual that's responsible for their own awakening. Yet when we're in a group of people, we can lead by example and open up that door, if you will, to really highlight the opportunity to come together as a group and the brilliance in that. It's opening the door to creativity, to looking at things beyond what we might seem to think is the box. And I think Jean mentioned that, because what would the world be if there was no box?
Right, that's true. Because if the system is dissembling, where do you see the system now, the new system looking like?
It's not going to look the same. You know, it can't.
Thank heaven.
You know, and we've got to take the things that were good about the old structure and blend them with the things that are better in the new opportunities that are presenting themselves and create a magnificent now. And we have all that. It's just bringing it to fruition now.
I think it's really, you know, while you're talking about that, I'm going, how do we set that up politically? You know what I mean? It's like really advance that. But it seems to be drifting through some of Obama's administration at times, isn't it?
Well, from my perspective, and I don't want to, you know, I want to make sure everybody has time. We have to do it at a grassroots level.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time from the Obama level, from the government level. But it's got to be in tandem.
Do you believe that we have better access? I mean, I know we do empathically, intuitively, and vibrationally. We have stronger and stronger access to what's going on out there. We can send frequencies and so on. But do you think the Internet and all these call-ins and these Internet, what do you call them, you know, when people all send their signatures in and so on, do you think that's having much of an impact, telling them what people really are wanting?
I guess, you know, I'll step up to that one. This is Jean. And I don't really think, you know, that the petitions that circulate around on the Internet, I'm not really sure that they do any good. However, I do believe, and, you know, I've seen enough on the news that lets me believe that the people in power are watching Twitter. So we can, I think we can impact by making our statements on things like Twitter. Not sure about Facebook, but I think there are a lot of these, you know, social network tools that I believe at an administration level they're looking at those things.
Hmm. Do you think
and if they're
really
not? Well, you know, if they're not, then they won't get elected the next time around.
Hmm.
So I think that's really the way we begin to shape the new reality is by, you know, standing in our truth and making statements into these social network places that are now available for us. You know, because 10 years ago we didn't have that kind of tool, even 5.
I know, and nobody, and your voice was kind of lost in the wilderness, but it seems like there's a real deluge of voices going at them. Even those petitions, even if they don't work, at least the massive numbers of people that are sending in their names. I mean, that's pretty powerful, I believe, at some level.
Mm-hmm.
There's certainly
it's got to be. It's got to be. Because I think, you know, the bottom line is it is all about these people who are in power and who are shaping the legislation. They want to be reelected.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to listen to their constituents. And more now today than ever before, the constituent has an ability to reach them.
Yeah. It's so interesting, isn't it? You're on Seventh Wave, so you're on radio. But one of the reasons I love to do a network or internet radio is that feeling that we're actually sending frequencies out there all over the world, and there's tons of us doing this. It's the most marvelous thing. I really believe that we're going to shift consciousness this way as well.
You know, I don't see how we couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because there is... It's that 100th monkey thing, you know. Enough people are going to get it, and then pretty soon everybody will.
And they can't pinpoint an area and stop anything because there's so much of it going on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So keep up the good work, Veronica. Yeah, it is.
And you guys, too. So is anybody else, do you have something else to say, Armand or Angelina, about what's going on at the Lightworkers Conference?
Boy, I think we said it all, and we just got seconded by those two beautiful beings, Judith and Jean. So.
It sounds to me like it's building a vortex over there in Fort Lauderdale. Is that right?
It's the most amazing organized event that truly I've seen. It's bringing people together in a state of harmony, with positivity, with the belief in the vision and the moment. And there's so much laughter, and I love the fact that people, you know, can take themselves lightly, that this is about bringing joy, and that's our natural state, and remembering that, and seeing it mirrored in everyone's eyes. I think that's probably my personal favorite part of this.
Wow.
I'm
so sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I hope you all have a really wonderful time. I wouldn't mind coming to it, but I just heard about it, so I can't do that yet, but it's going to be a really touching event, I'm sure. And I suppose it won't get media coverage. It's not that kind of a thing, is it?
I don't think there's much,
you know,
media.
I think it gets local media. I know that there's several radio stations in the South Florida area that have interviewed a bunch of us.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so I'm sure local media, but I'm not sure that it's national media. But you know what? There's next year, and you can come next year. Same time, same place.
Yeah, we'll just keep our hearts open and we'll tune into it next year. Well, I've really enjoyed this visit with you all, and I know it's going to be a wonderful event. And maybe I'll meet Robin when she comes back because she's almost a neighbor here.
There you go.
So thank you all so much. And again, why don't you give your websites one more time and then everybody will know how to find you.
Okay, I'll step up to that one.
Okay.
JeanAdrian.com.
And if they want to use your cards, they would go to inner-speak.org, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
Armand here, and that would be ArmandandAngelina.com, all spelled out.
And this is June at CrystalFriends.com.
Great. Well, thank you all so much. And I will be talking for just a few more minutes. Then we're going to end with Angelina singing. And what is the name of the song? It's by Bach, but I didn't write the name down. It's I think of a Latin name.
It's Ode to Gratitude, which is a derivation of Beethoven's Ode to Joy.
Oh.
It's so beautiful.
It is very beautiful. So I thank you so much for your wonderful work in the world, and go and spread light, because that's what you're all doing, isn't it?
Well, thank you. Thank you for...
We'll see you all at ULC, and we'll see you in spirit, my dear.
All right. Thank you. Thank you all. Bye.
Blessings. Thank you.
Blessings. So that was a wonderful gathering of light beings from the Universal Lightworkers Conference in Florida. Each of them lives in different parts of the country, and they all assemble there to create a wonderful light-filled meeting place of minds, of talents, of healing abilities, and setting a consciousness tone. Sounds wonderful. I'd love to go there. So one of my big issues is it's very difficult for us. It seems very difficult for us to get past personal hurts, wounds, and injuries, and so on, and the defiance with which we fight for our identity in the world can very often keep us all separated and so on. And that's apparently a conference where people seem to, at least from this perspective, get beyond those issues in order to create a higher frequency light for everyone. I really love that idea. I won't go on and on about it, except that's one of my dreams with Paradigm Shifters, is to send out the light so that we all connect. And Thursday night I'm going to be on with Jackie Salvitti and her team. Her team is a wonderful channel group, and they are always working to, they come through Jackie, and they work with individuals to help. They build the light in a way, the way I would understand it, is to help us bust out of the subconscious things that have pulled us down and made us defensive in the past. And by the time you finish talking to them, you really feel expanded and like you've got a perspective up and over some of the traumas of the human condition. I don't really know who's going to be on Paradigm Shifters next week, but I have a wonderful couple coming up on the 23rd, and they're going to talk about business. As Judith was mentioning, commerce, sacred commerce, is really, really important. And these people have written a book called The Heart of Marketing. And they're counselors, and they're metaphysicians, and they've been really into the marketing world, internet marketing and so on, and how you bring consciousness and heart into the world of commerce. I'm very excited about it. I've done a little bit of reading of their stuff, and I'm soon going to get a book from them so I can be really well-versed. And remember, one of my paradigm shifters was Ayman Sawaf. I mentioned him in a flyer a couple of weeks ago, and he talked about way back in the time of, I guess it was Egyptian times, under a fellow named, I don't know if he was a god or if he was a leader, named Bay. He was a little kind of a dwarfy guy who was very dark and very beloved, and he was in charge of a group called the Merchant Priesthood. And those are all beings, very, very high beings, high frequency beings, who were trained lifetime after lifetime to raise and then sustain high frequency energies so they could be placed anonymously, really. Nobody really knew who they were. They would be placed in the marketplace so that they could radiate well enough and strongly enough to release or transform greed and competitive natures and jealousies and so on. And their goal was so that the resources would be distributed to everyone and not be just gathered by someone who's greedy. And my own guides were telling me recently in a channeling, I was channeling, and they were saying that we are living, after all, they said, we are living in an oligarchy, and we rushed to look it up, but it said, it's the control of many by a few for selfish and greedy reasons. So then I thought of Ayman's priesthood, and I thought, now where are these guys now that we need them? But the way Judith was talking, I'm going, we're bringing them up. We're bringing up more and more about consciousness and business and learning to do win-win realities. And you know what? Everything we learn about manifesting says that when we're in touch with that divine part of ourselves, we all are receiving messages, and those messages will bring us all to a place where we receive what it is we need. And when we know, if you can create something, and I can look at you and know that if you create it, I can too. It's within my, not just my grasp, but it's within my sort of my right, my entitlement, my love from the universe and so on to also have it. If we could really have that as a deep, deep pillar of base in our society. Boy, wouldn't society be different? And since our systems are breaking down right now, I'm excited about that particular point of view, whether it's the healthcare or commerce and so on. There are so many ways in which the new society, bringing heaven to earth, as I think Armand mentioned, the new society can really make it a win-win no matter how you look at it. The other thing is it all brings us to human potential. Anyway, this is Veronica Entwistle saying thank you so much for listening. And we're going to now run. I'm going to say goodbye. And, let me back up for a minute. My name is Veronica Entwistle. If you have ideas for this show about who you'd like to hear from or comments on our guests and so on, email me, Veronica@VeronicaEntwistle, E-N-T-W-I-S-T-L-E. I also do healing sessions and so on, as most of you know. So if you would like a session with me or just simply want to be in touch, Veronica@VeronicaEntwistle.com. And now we're going to end the show with a song. The song by Ode to Gratitude by Evangelina Armand. And I didn't ask him, but I think that's Armand in the song as well. He comes in partway through doing his harmony with her. I should have pushed him to play some of the songs that he had written, but we'll hear about those later. I really, really recommend you go to their website and check out the various pieces of music. They've got little pieces from some of their songs on there for your enjoyment. So enjoy them and take some universal love, run it through yourselves, and let's pass it on to one another. Many blessings to you, and thank you so much for listening to today's show, and thank you to my guests, Armand, Angelina, Jean, and Judith. Many blessings.